From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. This is the Voice of Indonesia with news. First, the headlines. Efforts still ongoing to free abducted New Zealander pilot. Monitor citizens affected by France riots. I am Ahmad Faisal, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stressed that efforts are still being made to free Susi Air pilot Philip Mark Matthews, a New Zealand citizen who is being held hostage by the separatist group led by Igenius Kogoya in Papua. As reported by Antara State News Agency, according to President Joko Widodo at the Halim Perdana Kusuma International Airport in Jakarta on Monday, the government will keep trying and negotiating. President Jokowi drew attention to several steps taken by the government to free the New Zealander, but said that information about them could not be disclosed to the public. Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, or MPR, Speaker Bambang Susatyo has asked the government to monitor Indonesian nationals affected by the riots that have raged in France since June 29, 2023, through the Indonesian Embassy in Paris. Susatyo has also asked the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to update data on Indonesian nationals in France to allow the monitoring of their whereabouts and ensure their security in the midst of ongoing riots. As quoted by Antara, Bambang Susatyo appealed to citizens to immediately contact the Ministry's Indonesian Citizen Protection number in case of an emergency situation. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Monday departed for Australia to attend the 8th Indonesia-Australia annual leaders meeting with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese in Sydney. The President's entourage, comprising Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Investment Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, Investment Minister Bahlil Lahadalia, and State Secretariat Minister Pratikno, embarked from the Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport. According to President Jokowi, during the press conference at the airport before his departure, the visit is highly strategic for Indonesia because later, in Australia, he will attend the 2023 annual leaders meeting with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. He also noted that the most recent annual leaders meeting with Australia took place in June 2022 in Bogor, West Java. The Indonesian government has set the holiday of Eid al-Adha 1444 Hijriah for 3 days, creating a long holiday from June 28 to July 2, 2023. The Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, at the weekly brief with Sandi Uno in Jakarta on Monday stated that the long holiday of Eid al-Adha was very special because it coincided with school holidays where families could travel together. Thus, the holiday has a direct impact on the revival of tourism with an upper limit target of 1.4 billion movements of domestic tourists. Based on internal survey data of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, according to Sandiaga Uno, the movement of domestic tourists during the Eid al-Adha long holiday is expected to drive the economy around 5 to 10 trillion rupiah, which eventually opens up business and employment opportunities.
Kalau dari data survei yang kita dapat bahwa
from the survey data, the ministry obtained that every visit or movement of Indonesian tourism that is triggered by the long holiday start between 500,000 to 1 million per pax. So if the ministry multiplied the total anticipation of the movement of domestic tourists during the long holiday of Eid al-Adha 2023 and look at the train, the tickets are 1.1 million and from the flights are 1.25 million. While from the land route, it's extraordinary, there are almost 4,000 vehicles on the land route. If the government totaled it, for example, 10 million are moving with a gain of around 1 million. Then the ministry can see the movement between 5 and 10 trillion rupiah, and this has finally opened up business opportunities and jobs. Moreover, Minister Sandiaga Uno further pointed out that during this long holiday, it turned out that the majority of Indonesian people traveled with their families with favorite tourism destinations that remained a mainstay such as Yogyakarta, Solo, Malang, Batur, Bali, Lombok, Bandung, Puncak Bogor, and Jakarta Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi, and he explained that there was a threefold increase in bookings for transportation and accommodation, and this increased by 65% compared to the previous period. Sandiaga Uno also conveyed long-distance train ticket also increased significantly, and flights also recorded 1.25 million passengers on this holiday. Let's turn to the international news. China's top diplomat has urged Japan and South Korea to foster a sense of strategic autonomy from the West and cooperate with Beijing to revitalize Asia amid rising tensions between China and the two neighboring American allies. As quoted by CNN.com, the comments by Wang Yi on Monday come as Japan and South Korea forge closer relations with the United States and mend ties with each other, driven by common concerns about Beijing's growing influence and assertiveness in the region. In a video shared by Chinese state media, Wang told Japanese and South Korean guests attending a trilateral forum in the eastern coastal city of Qingdao that most Americans and Europeans cannot tell China, Japan, and South Korea apart. The UN peacekeeping force on the Lebanon-Israel border on Monday said its commander is in contact with officials in both countries over tensions regarding two tents set up by the militant Hezbollah group last month. As reported by ArabNews.com, Israel filed a complaint with the United Nations in June claiming that Hezbollah had set up tents several dozen meters or yards inside of Israeli territory. As reported by ArabNews.com, The area where the tents were erected in Keba Farms and the Kfar Kuba Hills were captured by Israel from Syria during the 1967 Mideast War and are part of Syria's Golan Heights that Israel annexed in 1981. The Lebanese government says the area belongs to Lebanon. Another 91 Singapore-based entities were recently identified as being involved in the flow of supplies to Myanmar's military, adding to an initial list of 47 recently named by United Nations Special Rapporteur for Myanmar. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, in response to questions sent by members of parliament, Vikram Nair, People's Action Party Admiralty, and Dennis Tan, Workers' Party Hougang, Foreign Affairs Minister Vivian Balakrishnan clarified that the government has not imposed a general trade embargo on Myanmar. Well, listener, that was the newsline read by Ahmad Faisal.
Here is today's commentary on three historical archives of Indonesia are designated as Memory of the World. I'm Dolot Pane. For the 10th time, Indonesia historical archives have been designated as Memory of the World by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization UNESCO. There are three Indonesian documentary archives that are considered to have high historical value, namely, the speech of Indonesia's first president Sukarno, entitled To Build the World Anew, which was delivered at the United Nations on September 30, 1960, first meeting of the Non-Aligned Movement in Belgrade 1961, and Hikayat Aceh, 17th century AD. The three archives were designated as Memory of the World at the 216 UNESCO Executive Council session in Paris, France, on May 10-14, 2023. The presentation was carried out by Indonesia's permanent representative at UNESCO, Professor Ismunandar, to the Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Teuku Fajasa, at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Monday. With the designation and submission of the three certificates, Indonesia now has 11 out of a total of 496 World Collective Memory documents that have been determined by UNESCO. The other 8 certificates are the VOC archives, Archives of the Asian African Conference, Chronicle of Diponegoro, Borobudur Conservation Archives, Tsunami Archives, La Galigo, Nagara Kartagama, and Panji Stories. The determination of three Indonesian historical archives to become memories of the world is, of course, a matter of pride for Indonesian people, especially for the world of Indonesian diplomacy in the international arena. Sukarno's or Bung Karno's speech entitled "To Build the World Anew" invited the world community to rebuild the world based on the Indonesian nation's philosophy, namely Pancasila. Meanwhile, the first meeting of the Non-Aligned Movement in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, in 1961 was the date of the formation of the Non-Aligned Movement in the Cold War era. At that time, the developing countries agreed to show an impartial attitude between the American and Soviet blocs with their respective allies. Indonesia from the beginning has played a central role in the formation of the movement. The principles and objectives of the Non-Aligned Movement are a reflection of Indonesia's struggle and national goals as stated in the 1945 Constitution, particularly the spirit of independence and anti-colonialism. Meanwhile, the Aceh Hikayat manuscript is a rare collection written in the 17th century AD and tells about the journey of Sultan Iskandar Muda as the most powerful and greatest sultan in the Aceh Sultanate. Hopefully, this international recognition can inspire the entire Indonesian nation to keep protecting and maintaining valuable historical archives. That's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's 5 super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on 4th July 1927 about the founding of Indonesian National Association. On July 4, 1927, the Indonesian National Association or PNI Party was founded in Bandung, West Java by national figures such as Cipto Mangunkusumo, Sartono, Iskak Cokrohadisuryo, and Sunaryo. This party is upholding nationalism and spreading spirit for independence movement doctrine. The Dutch Indies worried about the influential and extreme nationalism spread by PNI. Therefore, the Dutch Indies government issued a warrant to arrest the PNI figures in Yogyakarta on December 24, 1929. The arrest was done on December 29, 1929. Dutch Indies arrested Sukarno, Gatot Mangku Praja, Supriyadinata, and Maskun Sumadireja. They were put on trial and incarcerated in Sukamiskin, Bandung. Let's move to the next event. In 1943, the Battle of Kursk. World War II between Germany and the Soviet Union broke on July 4, 1943 in the Eastern Front near Kursk. The battle was called the Battle of Kursk that lasted from July until August. The battle began with Germany's Citadel operation on July 5. The Soviet Union hit back with the Kutuzov operation on the same day. The Soviet Union emerged as the victor of this battle. We end with an event on July 4, 1946, Philippines gains independence. The people of Europe who set foot for the first time on the land of the Philippines were the Spanish seamen led by Ferdinand Magellan in 1521. Since then, the Philippines were colonized by Spain for three centuries. The increasing fight back by the people of the Philippines lowered down Spain's strength. At the same time, Spain just lost a battle against the US. The Philippines then declared their independence on June 12, 1898. However, the Philippines failed to get international recognition for their independence, especially from the US and Spain. The Spanish government then handed over the Philippines to the US in the Paris Treaty in 1898. The revolutionary government of the Philippines did not recognize that treaty. The Philippines then continued their struggle to kick out the American troops from their land. The Philippines got their full sovereignty on July 4, 1946 from the US with the Philippines Independence Act, also known as Tidings McDuffie Act. President Harry S. Truman issued Proclamation 2695 on July 4, 1946, which officially recognized the independence of the Philippines. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
All the time, I guess I should take it as needing someone who will share this feeling. I'm a fool for love, a fool for love. I give a second chance to get back.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Minister of Investment, Head of the Investment Coordinating Board Bahlil Lahadalia, asked the International Monetary Fund IMF not to interfere with Indonesian government policies regarding the ban on commodity exports and downstream. In a press statement in Jakarta on Friday, he said that Indonesian government appreciated the views and recommendation of the IMF regarding Indonesia's macroeconomic growth. However, according to him, the IMF imposed a double standard to supporting downstream objectives but opposing the export ban policy. Minister Bahlil explained the IMF assessments regarding the losses that would be experienced by the Indonesian government if implementing the export ban policy was inappropriate. He gave an example. Nickel exports in 2017 to 2018 only reached $3.3 million. This amount increased to nearly $30 million when Indonesia stopped nickel exports and carried out downstreaming. The minister further explained, downstream has made Indonesia's trade balance experience a surplus for 25 consecutive months. In addition, since the implementation of the downstream policy, the growth of the workforce in the downstream sector each year has reached 26.9% in the last 4 years. Therefore, Minister Bahlil Lahadalia emphasized, downstream policies and commodity export bans were still carried out by Indonesia. According to him, downstream was not just a matter of adding value, but also related to the sovereignty of the Republic of Indonesia. Previously, the International Monetary Fund IMF provided views regarding the export ban policy contained in a report entitled IMF Executive Board Concludes 2023 Article 4 Consultation with Indonesia, which was published on Monday. The 3 points highlighted by the Ministry of Investment are that IMF recognizes Indonesia's economic growth is above 5%, recognizes that foreign investment in Indonesia will continue to increase and grow by around 19%, and support Indonesia's downstream goals to encourage structural transformation and creation added value by opposing the export ban policy.
Thank you.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
VOI listener, today's Indonesian Wonder introduces you to serabi, a traditional Indonesian snack that may have been known since the days of Mataram Kingdom, Javanese Hindu Buddhist Kingdom. This cake is made from rice flour, coconut milk and salt, which has a soft texture and sweet taste. Now, along with the times, various toppings are available, such as sausage, cheese, chocolate and mayonnaise. Usually, this cake is synonymous with sweet food. However, there are also serabi that are eaten with lodeh, which is mixed vegetables cooked in coconut milk with a savory taste. Its name is serabi lodeh. Serabi lodeh is very popular in Mawot Hamlet, Sugiharjo Village, Tuban Regency, East Java. Serabi lodeh is serabi which is eaten with lodeh vegetables. Sayur lodeh itself is made from shayot, long beans, eggplant, petai stinky beans, tempeh fermented bean cake, chili, small corn, and coconut milk cooked with spices. The taste of this serabi tends to be salty, then combined with delicious lodeh vegetables with a spicy and savory taste. In Mawot Village, you can easily find this special food because many local residents sell serabi lodeh. Usually, this serabi is sold from night to morning. The price is quite affordable. One serving of serabi lodeh is priced at 15,000 rupiah or $1. But if you just want to enjoy serabi cake without lodeh vegetables, one piece of serabi sells for 1,000 rupiah. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a program which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development Agency Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Berwisata di Sawah Lunto. Berwisata di Sawah Lunto or traveling in Sawah Lunto. Next, we'll be listening to a conversation entitled Sama Historis Dengan, which means as historical as. This conversation takes place between Chris Josh Robinson, a vlogger from Australia and a female tour guide in Sawah Lunto City. She tells Chris about the history of the Ombilin coal mine town. Chris listens curiously. Let's listen to their conversation.
Stasiun kereta api pengangkut batu bara di tambang batu bara Ombilin ini sangat bersejarah.
Situs tambang ini sama historis dengan tambang batu bara Wallonia di Belgia. Begitu menurut brosur ini.
Betul, itulah istimewanya.
After listening to the conversation, I will provide vocabulary related to today's material, sama historis dengan, which means as historical as. I will say the word slowly twice each and you can repeat after me. Situs, which means site. Tambang, which means mine. Sama historis dengan, which means as historical as. Tambang batu bara, which means coal mine. Situs tambang ini sama historis dengan tambang batu bara Wallonia di Belgia. Situs tambang ini sama historis dengan tambang batu bara Wallonia di Belgia, which means this mining site is as historical as the Wallonia coal mine in Belgium. Stasiun, which means station. Kereta api, which means train. Pengangkut, which means carrier. Bersejarah, which means historic. Brosur, which means brochure. Istimewa, which means special. In the conversation, you heard the phrase, situs tambang ini sama historis dengan tambang batu bara Wallonia di Belgia. Situs tambang ini sama historis dengan tambang batu bara Wallonia di Belgia. Which means this mining site is as historical, this mining site is as historical as the Wallonia coal mine in Belgium. In that speech, there is an expression sama historis dengan, which means the same or as historical as, which compares the historical privileges between the Ombilin mine site and the Wallonia mine site. To express a comparison between two things that are the same, you can use the expression sama, adjective, which means the same, followed by preposition dengan, which means as, between the two things being compared. Thus, sama dengan means the same as. Other examples. Let's listen to other examples of expression to compare to things that are the same. Sama tua dengan, which means as old as. Chris sama umurnya dengan Sorta Uli, which means Chris is the same age as Sorta Uli. sama tinggi dengan, sama tinggi dengan, which means the same height as. Chris sama tinggi dengan ayahnya. Chris sama tinggi dengan ayahnya, which means Chris is the same height as his father. The Ombilin coal mine in Sawah Lunto was designated by UNESCO as a World Heritage Site in 2019. Previously, Borobudur and Prambanan temples were designated as World Heritage Sites in 1991. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example of a conversation once again.
Stasiun kereta api pengangkut batubara di tambang batubara Ombilin ini sangat bersejarah.
Situs tambang ini sama historis dengan tambang batubara Walonia di Belgia. Begitu menurut brosur ini.
Betul, itulah istimewanya.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian with the topic Berwisata di Sawah Lunto. Berwisata di Sawah Lunto or traveling in Sawah Lunto and a conversation sama historis dengan, sama historis dengan, which means as historical as. Hopefully this edition will be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian. We will meet again tomorrow with a different material. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Kita tipe berbeda. Dunia ku tak lagi sama. Aku dititikkan beban. Sungguh tak biasa. Satu jua mungkin bisa. Tapi tak bisa semua. Ku harus ada di depan. Sungguh tak biasa. Aku si kecil mencoba dewasa. Meski jiwa ini masih rapuh. Penakut harus perkasa. Meski sulit ku tak boleh rapuh. Rapuh gemetar langkah kecilku. Gemetar langkah kecilku. Tapi ku percaya nanti pasti mampu. Aku si kecil mencoba dewasa. Meski jiwa ini masih
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo.
Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Tergedek-gedek by Shalim and Luciana Firmawati. The song was composed by Shalim and Ferry Agnes. The lyrics, which consists of several verses of rhymes, tells about the reality of the people's life of nature. It describes many people who are more concerned with material things. However, at the end of the song, there is advice to live in harmony, be happy, and not get too engrossed in the world, so you forget about the afterlife. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Tergedek-gedek by Shalim and Luciana Firmawati. Enjoy!
Walau susah mencari duit, asalkan nikah ada pestanya. belanja. Bini di rumah dah macam singa, lama-lama pecah belanga. Anak istri tergelik gebit, tergelik gebit di bawah tangga. Biarlah bininya pendek asalkan dapat mertua kaya. Anak istri tergelik gebit, tergelik gebit di bawah tangga. Biarlah bininya pendek asalkan dapat mertua kaya.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voynews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voy Indonesia, email voy@voynews.id. Thank you.